Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. And hello, my friends. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, how are you?
Awesome. Thank you. Welcome to Off the Cuff, everyone, with SDJ and my friend, Melissa Corder.
Hey, everybody. I'm so excited.
I'm happy to have you here, girl. And on a Friday, I don't usually have guests on Fridays. So look at that's even extra special. So I wanted to try that countdown because I just found it. And I'm like, oh, let's try that. So that was kind of cool. I don't know. Did you guys all see that? And did it like, would it seem kind of smooth or was it, I don't know. What was it? Tell me about that countdown sucker right there. All right, my friends. So welcome, my friends, to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you are new, I am SDJ, otherwise known as Sunny Dawn Johnston. And this is my friend and client and colleague, Melissa Kim Corder. Very excited to have her here with us today. I want to share a little bit about who Melissa is, because it might be hard to believe, but some of you may not know who she is or what she does. She does all kinds of things. So I'm going to read her bio so you get a little info about Melissa and what she does. And then we are going to jump into the off the cuff. Every time before I get everybody on, we sit here and, you know, we chat for a couple minutes before and we're like, so this is going to be off the cuff. So, you know, whatever we want to talk about, and that's how it always is. So for those of you that ever wonder if we like plan everything out, I for sure do ask some questions and I have information here about them. Do we go there? About never. About never. So, all right, let's get started. So Melissa, best-selling author, speaker, and hypnotherapist. Melissa Kim Corder is certified in over 36 modalities. Oh my God, you counted them one day. That is a lot.
I actually stopped counting. There's more.
Exactly. Her specialty is discovering emotional and financial barriers to sabotaging prosperity and visibility. She has a unique intuitive ability to uncover blockages and self-defeating patterns cycling through the nervous system and the subconscious mind. Once she hones in on the specific issues and has found the pattern, she crafts a recipe for her clients to release and replace the block with hypnosis and emotional freedom technique, otherwise known as EFT. She works with creatives, authors, coaches to release their fears and achieve their goals. For more than 16 years, Melissa has extensively studied many facets of intuition, neuroscience, human behavior, shamanism, and spirituality. All right, my friend, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Yes, excited to have you, my friend. So we have people joining from all over and lots of them are saying hello to you because they all love you. So, my favorite ladies. Oh, isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? Okay, Melissa. So I thought we would start just by having you tell everyone where you got started in all this. Because so 16 years that you've been doing this kind of actively, professionally out in the world. But we all know that just because we've been, you know, I've been doing it 20 years professionally, but I've actually been studying it for 36 years. So what, give me a little background about how you got involved in this kind of work, where it started, and just how you kind of stepped in.
Absolutely. I feel like many of us kind of have these similar experiences in childhood where we may have sensed things or felt things, saw things that we couldn't always explain or put into words. And some of us were blessed to have households that would nourish those kind of gifts or connections. And mine, it was very confusing. And so at a really young age, I had an awareness that things were happening, but very quickly learned that it wasn't normal in that environment and that other people didn't quite know how to relate to me or these experiences I was having. And so I just started to shut them down. I started to kind of disconnect from that part of myself. And then I turned, it was somewhere around my 14th birthday, I started playing around with cards, like tarot cards and things like that. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, and my mom knew, so there were a couple of people that knew in secret that I would do this kind of thing. And she would have her friends come in or relatives, you know, and they would, it was like these older women and then me, this 14-year-old kid, like doing readings and stuff like that for them. And they were good. They were accurate. And so it kind of set me on a path to learn more about this whole unseen world. Like, what is this? And what is this connection I have? Through that, there was a lot of ups and downs and, you know, experiences that were not healthy for me that I engaged in that taught me. And so it really became a journey of seeking to try to understand not only the spiritual world, but my inner world, my thoughts, my feelings, my beliefs, and to try to find some sort of harmony between the two.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't always easy. I bet some of you that are listening right now and you're like 50 or 60 or 40 or 30 and you're going, I'm there right now.
Right.
I'm trying to figure that out, the difference between my inner world and my outer world and how to align them, how to line them up. So what did you discover in working to find the harmony? What did you discover at that time? Because it might be different now, that started you on the path that said, okay, this is a step towards something that feels better.
Right. Absolutely. So I was still in this place of not listening. The information, you could call it, or the guidance or the knowing or the insights I would have were still there, even though I was completely off path. I was hanging out with the wrong people. I was involved with a lot of like drugs and alcohol and just a lot of behaviors and environments that were really unhealthy. But within that, I still had that connection. It was still there. It was just really small, really subtle. And there was something about that, like, if I can be in this mess and still have this connection, what else could be possible if I'm like this far off path and experiencing this kind of like tumultuous environment? What could it be like if I actually listened to that? So that was really pivotal to start exploring. And honestly, the cool thing is I didn't have to try that hard. It was sort of almost like the willingness or the desire was enough that all of a sudden things started coming in to support that intention to want to expand or to heal, really. And so books would fall off the shelf or things would come to me. And so I just had to really embrace those things. And that was probably the biggest like catalyst for my growth, was learning to trust those little nudges and to follow them like breadcrumbs along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's the thing, is we all get those. It's just having enough of an awareness in the moment when you're in your shit to notice them. Because sometimes when you're in your shit, all you're seeing is other shit. Like it's hard to see the light when your head's down. Absolutely. You know? And so did you in learning to listen to those nudges, did you ever have a time? Because I had a lot of these where I would feel something and then I would not follow it. Then I would kick myself in the butt for not following it. And then I'd get another opportunity and come back around. Like, okay, now it's time to listen. And so what I discovered is that, in part of my kind of belief way back when I was younger, was, well, if I don't get it now, it'll come back around. But it doesn't usually come back around in easy, I would say, grace and ease. I've chosen to learn grace and ease. I'm still not always excellent at it. But so did you have that too, where you'd miss it and maybe be like, oh man, I missed it, and then have to step in again or again and again?
Always. I wish I could say that I was aware and conscious enough to know that was happening, but I really didn't even know that was happening. I was so disconnected from whatever that was, that looking back, I can see that. But in the moment, I didn't have that awareness to say, oh, you know what? I should have listened to this. I'll do better next time. I was in such a place of like not trusting that yet, that even though it was trying to help me to, you know, lean into it, to really believe in it, I still had a whole lot of mistakes that I had to make in that territory. I did have one experience though, that kind of rocked my world. And it really became a catalyst too for why I even stopped associating with the people I was hanging out with and the behaviors and all the things. It wasn't an overnight, but it was a really big catalyst where I had a feeling one day, and it was, you need to get out of this car with these people. And I just felt sick. I didn't have the story. I didn't know what was going on, but I felt so physically ill that I couldn't ignore it. Because all the other stuff, I could talk myself out of that. I could talk myself out of these things because I didn't have enough self-worth or honestly desire to believe it. But that moment, I felt so ill that I trusted that. And I said to them, I need you to drop me off. Bring me home. Bring me home. Eventually, long story short, they got into some serious trouble. They had gone on this little adventure that they planned on bringing me along the ride with. And it turned into a very serious situation where they were involved with guns and the police and this whole thing. And I had no idea, but something in me knew and was like, I need to get out of this car. That that was pivotal for sure.
Well, and your body, you know, it's hard to ignore that body of ours because it gets louder and louder and louder. So it was really your cheerleader. You know, it's the one that, and your guide that helped you to see clearly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure. So one of the things I know about you, and so Melissa and I have known each other for a long time, but I don't actually know how we met, because most of the time you all know how we met because you remember how we met. But a lot of times I met in a class or we met in an event or something like that. So I don't always remember that. So number one, how long ago was it and how did we meet? And then the thing that I wanted to share was one of the things I know about you is your interest in manifesting and healing abundance, like figuring out why I'm not creating what I want to create and then shifting the energy to be able to get to a place where I can create and attract the abundance in all different areas that I'm looking for. So those three questions in a row right there.
I love it.
You can remember them all, girl.
So first, I was the Find Me group. So I was part of the Find Me group. And I kept hearing this woman's name. Everybody's like, you got to meet Sunny. You got to meet Sunny. And I'm like, who is this Sunny woman? And it was really weird because I didn't go to many of the functions at the time that were happening. But the ones I went to, you just happened to be somewhere else. And they're like, this Sunny woman's not here. I'm like, what is going on? So that kept happening. And that was one of the ways I would pay attention to things like the people coming to our lives and all that. Mm-hmm. Then one day I was driving. My sister was visiting from the East Coast. And we were looking for some kind of, I don't know, it was books or card decks or something like that. And so we started Googling and we actually lived just a couple miles from your healing center. But I didn't know it existed. I didn't know anything about like all the work you did and who you were. And so I was Googling and Sunlight Alliance came up and it said metaphysical shop or whatever. Well, we were driving by because we didn't know it was a residential neighborhood. So we were like going in circles. I'm like, where the hell is this place? So I call and you answered and you were like, yeah, come on by. You showed up as me and my sister and like you come to the door and you have these sparkly jeans on and blonde, beautiful hair. I'm like, who is this woman? And we walk in and you had all these awesome tools and cards and that's how I found you. It was just a random Google search. But then it wasn't even in that moment that I connected the Sunny they were talking about and Find Me to the Sunny I was in the living room, not even realizing you were the same person. It took a couple months and then hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, okay, I got to pay attention to this because that was really kind of cool. So those are the first two questions.
Now, how long ago was that? Was that in like 20?
Oh my gosh.
2008, maybe?
It was before that because my son, I think he was only a couple years old and he's about to be 17. So I want to say that was like 14, 15 years ago.
So it was at the old classroom.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. In the living, I think it was still in your living room and you had a little corner.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. See how time flies, guys?
Crazy. Crazy. But yeah, we just driving around and then found you and there was just something about it too. And I don't even remember what we got. I think my sister got something, but I just knew you have those moments where you're like, pay attention. There's something here. And that was one of those. Mm-hmm. I had no idea I would end up working with you and being a student or a client or any of those things. Mm-hmm. But I did have a knowing like there's something here.
I love that. But I love those. I always love to hear the stories because, like I said, I remember that you were in some classes and, you know, way back when, but it's hard to remember all those details. And then it's fun to hear. And that's true, guys, driving around in the neighborhood because it was in a neighborhood in my house at the time, if it was 15, 16 years ago, for sure. So that's awesome. I love it. Okay. And then the next answer. What's the next answer?
Okay. Abundance. So that was something that I really didn't have a concept of. I struggled with money. I struggled with being enough, feeling like I was enough. very insecure for most of my life. And so I knew that I wanted more. I knew I wanted to have more financial freedom and security, whatever that was. I knew I wanted to have a deeper connection to my body. I had all these desires, and I started to attract people like you and other people into my world that were really helping me to get on this path of understanding I could have more. Like, it's actually possible. And just because I didn't have the experiences yet didn't mean it wasn't possible. And that I started attracting people in my world that were models of that. That was a huge catalyst in seeing, like, okay, I can do this, or I can create that. And then learning different techniques and tools and things along the way was super helpful. But there came a point where I had so much knowledge and didn't know what to do with it. I knew there was more, but I didn't know how to access it. I knew that I could create my reality, but I still struggled with stress and anxiety and all these other things. And so there was this weird middle ground of seeking and wanting, but also feeling separate then. And so it was in that time I learned hypnosis and emotional freedom technique and a couple other things. And I started to recognize there was more than what my conscious mind can perceive, and a little bit different than just the spiritual realm too, but a different part of me that was happening, which we could call like the subconscious, or that part of us that's out of our conscious awareness. And I was fascinated by it, and learning how to work with that and engage with that is where I started to discover the limitations we can have and my own limitations when it came to prosperity and abundance and money and all these different states of consciousness and energies. And starting to work with that opened up a whole other world for me.
Mm-hmm. And so you, in all of that kind of the background of the training, two of the tools that I know you use a lot are EFT, which I was trained in EFT 20 years ago. And I use those tools, and I actually still sometimes, not often, but sometimes I use those tools for myself. But I remember when I was trained in it, and I think it was 1999, I think, maybe 2000. And it was like, nobody knew what it was. It wasn't a thing, right? It was just some guy. It just wasn't a thing. And now, yeah. Now, you know, tapping, guys, for those of you that don't know, tapping is such a big thing. So you use that. And mm-hmm. then you also use yoga nidras a lot. So we've done, you know, we've had a lot of workshops, and back when we did moon ceremonies, and you help at the writer's retreat and bringing kind of people in to tap into their creativity. So can you talk a little bit about those two things and how you've used them in your life, and how they, and I know you use them with your clients as well, but yeah. You have personal experience with them, which makes a difference.
Absolutely. I just used them about 5 minutes before we came on together, just because my humanness was like, I'm a little nervous. Mm-hmm. So I use it there, but I like working with tapping, which, like you said, emotional freedom technique. It's also called EFT, and then hypnosis, or another version of it, which is called yoga nidra. And they're different perspectives, but very similar. And they all work with the subconscious. I think of tapping, think of it as emotional acupressure. So if you were to get acupuncture, you know, you might lie down, you might have needles placed in certain places that will along the body, and these meridian lines that connect to organs and emotions and can open up the flow within the physical body, but then also the emotions and other layers of our being. And so tapping does the same thing. It's just you would use your fingertips to tap along these points versus having to go through the process of having the needles and laying down and going through all of that. I call tapping an active process because you're engaged with it. You are physically using your own body to work with these points. You're using your mind to think about a situation, a problem, a pain point, or even something you want to amplify and call into your life. And then as you are tapping and you're thinking about these things, memories might surface, emotions might surface. It's also a very intuitive process. So that's the active part of these two therapies. The active is the EFT, tapping. The passive is the hypnosis or yoga nidra, and I use them interchangeably. They're very similar, little different background in each of them, but they're very, very much the same when it comes to, think of a very deep guided meditation or a journey that you would take. And so you lay down, you're open, hopefully able to relax and sort of surrender. So it's more passive. And I find that these two are helpful for people because if anybody's like I am, I can be in my head. I can spin in my head and get really stuck there. So the yoga nidra helped me get out of that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I honestly feel like I was purposely working with that more than I was with the tapping, because I wasn't ready for the tapping yet. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will say it doesn't work for me or I don't understand it. That can be one of the reasons, because they might be really much in their heads and need to sort of work through some of that first. But I like both of them together, not in the same moment together, but one first and then the other will usually complement it. It can go either direction. It depends on the person. But the passive approach, when we think of meditation, hypnosis, yoga nidra, sometimes we haven't learned yet how to feel safe in the body. And so if we go into those experiences, we might leave, we might check out, we might kind of disappear or fall asleep. And that's not bad, but it can, it may not be as effective for you as a tool if you're not gaining some type of connection with all of who you are, you know, body, mind, and soul. So I love the EFT to also help people to feel safe, to then feel into their body, be in the body, and then use the hypnosis. So they really blend beautifully. I've used them personally for everything. I can't think of anything I haven't approached them with, especially that when we talk about abundance and financial stuff, it's amazing how much is going on in the nervous system. If you think about the subconscious and then you have the brain and the way that we store emotion and memory consciously and unconsciously, and we're really dynamic beings. And tapping and hypnosis can help us access parts of ourselves that we might have just kind of tucked away. Mm-hmm. We might not even know exist, you know, yeah. Which can be fun too. And I just love it because it's non-invasive. And I don't believe in necessarily for myself working with techniques or modalities that cause us more pain. So mm-hmm. I like things that help bring some relief. And that's what I feel these tools do for myself and for my clients too.
Do you have a tendency to do them in? So I heard you say
I have an answer for that. Is there something else I can help with?
My iWatch does not have an answer for that. Let's see if Melissa does. So, wasn't asking you, Siri. Let me think.
I'm sure I understand.
This kind of shit happens all the time, you guys.
Because I actually had a fear that would happen, and now it went
through. Well, thank you, Melissa. I have received it.
That's funny.
Oh, stuff like that happens all the time.
Right.
So when you are working on, let's say you're working on a relationship issue, mm-hmm. and you are somebody who struggles to identify your part in it, mm-hmm. would you say that the meditative piece is important to do first and then the EFT so that it kind of you settle in it and then you kind of bring it into conscious awareness? Or would you do it the other way around? So is there a way to, in order, would you say, in general, is there a generalization for the order that you might do them in?
No, it's honestly very intuitively chosen based on the person I'm working with, because it can go in either direction. And sometimes it can be either or in the scenario. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to like relationships and let's say taking that personal responsibility and not necessarily like, hey, can I meditate to like fix my partner?
Exactly. Because it don't work, guys.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But some people don't know that. Yeah. You know, so what I would do is probably honestly start them with EFT, because I feel like that can bring more conscious awareness or information to mind. Versus the meditation, where if they're not used to relaxing to access guidance or whatever you want to call that, they might fall asleep. They might not remember what happened. They might not think anything happened. So the EFT can help them to feel more comfortable with staying in the present moment to be able to start working there. Because a lot of people, it's like the whole pleasure principle, you know, they'll gravitate towards pleasure, they'll run from pain. And so therefore EFT makes it like, oh, I can be with this. It's not so scary or terrifying, but also that personal responsibility becomes more clear for people with EFT because they start to have either a physical awareness of like, oh, I have this tension in my neck all of a sudden, or maybe spaciousness in my heart. They might have a thought or a memory. So it's really guiding them in their own experience, but that information starts to surface when we create the space for it. And so if they're thinking about a relationship, what'll likely happen is I would probably start with them and say, what are the qualities about this situation or person that, you know, what's happening here? What's the story, basically? And then we would take that into their own experience. How do these qualities show up for you? How long have they been there? Most of the things that happen in the nervous system or subconscious mind are a reflection of often what's happened to us at a younger age, before the age of 12. Between 6 and 12, we're developing our personality. We are learning how to navigate the world. We're making these unconscious and conscious agreements about what life is like and who we are. And so a lot of our relationship dynamics will manifest some of those things for us to learn from and to heal from. But if we actually bring it back within ourselves, and EFT can be a great catalyst for that, or experience for that, we can start to have that clarity and go, oh my gosh, I see this now, versus I'm caught in the reaction of it. So it's a great way to diffuse some of that too.
Well, and in a way, two things I hear is to take responsibility, because you're in it, and you're walking through it, feeling through it, talking through it, et cetera. But the other thing I was thinking is, we're doers. We like to do. And the majority of people, now there might be some of you that aren't doers, but I'm telling you, most of us are doers. So we like to take action. And so with EFT, you literally are doing something, so that and our mind just feels like, okay, I'm doing this to make me better, versus I'm just going to take a nap.
Right. That's why it's active.
Exactly. Yeah. And that helps people with the action aspect.
Absolutely.
So if you're someone that is, let's get off of relationships and let's go on to abundance. Let's just talk about prosperity. So I know money is a hot topic right now, because a lot of people are struggling, whether it's through furloughs, or whether it's through layoffs, or whether it's through a situation where they're like, I need to start making more money, or whatever it happens to be. And we're wanting to focus on creating, attracting more abundance into their lives. Where would you say is the first place to either look or work on to start to change that, whether it's the mindset, it's the habit, it's the reaction or the action?
Absolutely. So there's a couple channels or avenues I would work with someone when it comes to money as a whole, as a total, if we were to look at it that way. And very specifically, money versus abundance, which can come in other forms and that kind of a thing. And so we would look through these different areas to kind of pinpoint where they have the most, we could call it emotion around, intensity, reaction, because usually somebody's going to fall within one of the five categories, which is savings, debt, income goals, or something we call toxic money, which is having connections or ties to things that don't feel good, where we might feel like we are stuck in a scenario, or having to receive a certain type of financial support or assistance. And even though that's not bad, it's our perspective on it. So I would take them into one of those five areas, depending on what was showing up in their lives. A lot of it right now we're seeing in income, because income is being affected right now for a lot of people, and savings. So debt, even though that's there, there's a lot of relief happening for that at this moment in time. But with income and savings, it's a little bit rockier, because people are going into the reserves or things like that. So I would look in those areas. And I believe that money is a few different things. It's a mirror to help reveal or see deeper into experiences. It's a tool that we can use to kind of get from point A to point B, or to construct or to build something. The vehicle is where it can take us a little further into experiences if we allow it to. But there's these different representations of what money can be. And when we know what that is for us, and we start to think of it as just a mirror, all of a sudden we can notice, like, how do I feel when I think about my money? How do I think, am I looking at my money? Am I a good steward for it? Am I looking at what's going on in my bank accounts, or just in the regular day-to-day stuff? That's one layer to it. But then the emotions that surface with that is where I tend to bring people. So it might be, the most common thing I hear is, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. And they replay that over and over in their subconscious, whether that's the savings account or income. And it's not enough. It's not enough. So it's almost like on this loop within them. And if we can see that and show them how that is impacting them, we can start to work with how they are actually blocking it, slowing it down, keeping it from coming in. it doesn't mean we don't have hard times and that there's not an ebb or flow to things. That's absolutely part of it. But this comes back to what you said earlier, is that personal responsibility and how am I engaging with the energy of money? Where is my responsibility in that? And what can I do to work with it? So there's a lot of pieces to this, but one of the easiest things for people to do is to start with, I'm willing to look at this and to be with it. If we can just start there, and then I add the EFT with that, you start to calm the nervous system down. So a lot of us have a physical reaction when you open up your bank account, when you open up a bill in the mail. There's usually either a thought in your head, a feeling in your body, or a belief you have. And those three areas are guidance. So if you can look at those three areas in these scenarios, it is a key to start investigating what kind of relationship you have with money so that you can then transform it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people get really stuck in that because a lot of the people that I work with money specifically, they, and you said it, they don't want to look.
Right.
They just, the bills are piled up in the envelopes, not ever even open, just sitting there for weeks or months. They don't ever look in their bank account and they just let it get overdrawn and then pay their $25 every single time. Like they literally are blinded by it. And that's one of the things is being able to hold a hand and say, okay, you have given all your power to this.
Right.
You have power in it. Yep. You have power in it. So it's very... Money is a big trigger for a lot of people. And especially right now, it's an even greater trigger because there's seemingly such a lack or loss. And at the same time that there's loss though, guys, there's always the other side of it because everything's always finding its harmony. It just might not be visible from where you're sitting right this moment.
Absolutely. And yeah. When you're willing to look at it, I feel like what you just said starts to change.
Yes.
That willingness to be with it and look at it, it no longer is, we still may not like exactly what we're seeing right away, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when we uncover things, it's like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? Which is why a lot of us don't want to look to begin with because we'll have fear, guilt, or shame. And yeah. Nobody wants to feel those things. And so we'll kind of block it. But once you look at it, that's where power starts to come back in. Like you said, you give that power away. That's where it starts to come back in, is really saying, maybe I don't know how I'm going to figure this out, but I'm willing to be with it and look at it. Mm-hmm. That's where EFT also is super helpful because while we're tapping and saying these things, we think that what we're feeling about money right now is about right now. It's not about right now. This is stuff that's already in your system on some level. And yeah. Times like this kind of amplify for each of us in a different way, what's already there, you know?
Yeah, you're already trained into it. So now it's instead of saying, okay, this is what it is. This is what it's bringing up. This is what I was taught.
Right.
And this is what I learned. Maybe I wasn't even taught intentionally, but this is what I learned based on what was around me. And if I have the awareness, I can unlearn it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a topic. So Melissa is one of our speakers for this coming Thrive for September 13th, which is a Sunday and it's a full day, 10 to 5. Melissa is one of our speakers and the topic for this Thrive is actually abundance and creativity, prosperity. It's about manifesting your desires. So Melissa is going to be speaking. What's your specific topic on, Melissa? What's your title?
It's helping us to why we block abundance and what we can actually do to stop doing that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like it. And so Melissa is going to be joining Gina Hotzis, which is, she's freaking.
I love her.
Just she's just going to knock people's socks off is what she's going to do. And she's going to be talking about manifestation and really owning the desires that you have. We have Verenia, which is Nia Peoples. A lot of you saw my off the cuff with Nia Peoples a few weeks ago. And she's really a heart-based gal that is just so interested in helping people express who they are. So creativity. And then we have Emmanuel Dagger. And Emmanuel is going to be talking about how to attract and bring in prosperity. So this is going to be a fantastic Thrive, especially if you've got any challenges with holding yourself back. I know Melissa did. I know I did. And here's the great thing. It's really freaking awesome when you break through that, when you allow that energy to come to you, because then you have more energy to go through you. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't hold on to it if you don't want. But what happens for a lot of us is when we make more money, when we bring more energy in, we have more to share. And that's a great gift. That's a great gift. So September 13th is Thrive, and it is a pay what you can, because we don't want that to be a limitation, but we want you to learn how to attract more of it into your life. So I just put the link in the comments there, guys, so you can go check it out, pay what you can, and get registered for it, because we do have only a limited amount of spots. So make sure you get registered first. Okay, Melissa, let's talk about what is your favorite way to start your day?
Oh my gosh. So one thing, I have a couple things I do or I'll change out over time. One of the most, this is kind of funny. You guys are going to laugh at me. So I have this ridiculous thing. My husband makes fun of it. I have, I don't know if you guys have heard of a bio mat before, but it's like this device that you can lay on and it's infrared and it's got all this stuff. Well, it came with a little pillow, and this pillow is made of amethyst and it's hard as a rock. Like, it's ridiculous. It's not.
It is a rock, right?
It is. It's pretty much a rock. And so I, for a long time, just had it behind my pillows on my bed. Well, I noticed, and I don't know if this is like those gravity blankets where if you wear them, a little bit of pressure in it and they're soothing. So I do that with my amethyst pillow, and I put it on the side of my head and it blocks all noise out. And I just take like 5 or 10 minutes in the morning with this giant thing on my head and I breathe. But what I do is I think in my mind, what I want to create today? What do I want to be available for today? What do I want to open to today? And, this started because, you know, I'm someone that anxiety has been a part of my life since I was a little kid. So it's something that I have periods of it that show up. Thankfully, fewer and farther between. But every now and then I will have some anxiety. And that practice, I notice when I commit to just, I'm going to start my day. I'm going to visualize what I want. How do I want to feel? Have gratitude, appreciation for it. It helps that. But not only does it do that, but it's fun because you start to see things showing up throughout your day where they start to happen. They start coming in. That's one of the things I love. Sometimes it's meditation. If I don't do that part, I might go to my journal and I might do some journaling. It's the same kind of thing though. I'll write about what do I want? What am I open to? I love the practice of taking a single statement and writing it 50 times, like an open-ended thing. Kind of like, you know, receiving abundance, since we're talking about receiving abundance means, and I might write that 50 times and see what my mind comes up with. And because as I go through that practice, every time you write it out, you discover more and more stuff that's going on. And sometimes that's pleasant. You can build on it. And other times it's like, ooh, where did that come from? So I can work on it. Right. But I love those practices. I think they're super helpful for me too.
Yeah, those are great. Those are great. Okay. So I'm going to, now I'm going to ask you some off the cuff questions. They're just fun, playful. We'll see where you go questions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How do you like your eggs?
Scrambled.
Okay. See, I told you that was an off the cuff question. Do you have a favorite family tradition? And if you do, what is it? Whether it was your family or it's the family that you created.
You know what? One of the things that we do that I've really started to enjoy is on New Year's Eve, we have this jar. And what we've done for the past few years is we have written down our intentions for the year. And so New Year's Eve, we will open up the jar from the last year and we'll read through them. And then we will write out new ones. And then we put it in the jar. And then we shove it back in the corner of the closet for another year.
Yep. I love that. I actually have my jar sitting right. I wonder if I can reach it. Hang on. I can reach it. This has the intentions from New Year's for the last, since my younger son was 5. All of them. They're all dated. And they all have and it's whoever was there that day. That didn't, because I do a burning ceremony at my party, but for my family, I always kept them. And we have all of them in here, and it's so cool to be able to go through and read what you wrote back then, you know? Yeah, Absolutely. That's awesome.
That's incredible. Awesome. I love that. We didn't keep mine. We do it like we've recycled, you know, every year we get rid of the old ones and the new ones. And it's amazing what happens in that time.
You know,
it's a year, but so much happens and so much changes when you look back on them.
Well, and it's amazing what you thought you wanted.
Right.
That happened or didn't happen. And then how that kind of fine tunes it for the next year.
Sometimes. I'm like, thank God that didn't happen. I don't want that anymore.
Exactly. Absolutely. All right. What's the best advice you've ever heard?
Oh my gosh. There's way too many pieces, but the thing that's popping into my mind right now is probably something I heard recently in the past couple of years. And it was a quote, I don't know who the person is that said this, but the quote was, small hinges swing big doors. Mm-hmm. And I really love that because I feel like it's like you mentioned earlier about doing and we're very much having to do. And I feel like sometimes for me, that wasn't always the best thing. Mm-hmm. And if I can slow down and take smaller steps that are more purposeful and meaningful, they have led to some of the biggest changes I've had in my life. So I love that as like a little mantra or something in my mind. It's small hinges swing big doors. And I think it quite often.
Yeah. I like that one. And it kind of, you think about it for a sec, like, okay, wait. Okay. Yeah. I get your attention.
Yeah.
Yes. What is something that you use every single day that you cannot live without?
Oh my gosh, my ridiculous fancy coffee machine. I love it. We can make all these lattes and I'm a coffee person. Like I love coffee, but it's like a ritual to me, but we got this fancy thing like a year or two ago. It's a Breville and it just, you know, it's got the espresso thing and everybody can make their own, but it's like, now we drink coffee from home all the time. We don't get it from anywhere else because we get to get amazing coffee every day.
I don't know anything about coffee, so I have no comment at all, except for that that's cool that you love it. Okay. What is an interesting thing about you that most people don't know?
Oh my gosh. An interesting thing about me that most people don't know is one of my good friends when I was a teenager is now a rock star. I used to play the drums. And so we had a little band, you know, it wasn't officially a band, but I would play like real drums, like a drum kit. And all my friends would come over and they would all do different things. And my friend that was a bass player is actually it's for the members that used to be a part of Danzig. So he tours the world now. And I was like, oh my gosh, I used to play the drums with that guy.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool. That's something most people can't say.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. If you were going to do a TED talk, but you had to do it on something that is not your main area of expertise, what would you want to do it on?
It's not my main area of expertise. Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. Oh my gosh, that's such a difficult one. A TED talk. Because the idea of a TED talk on something I do want to talk about is even like, something I'm not an expert in or not really.
It's something you dislike, but you don't really know that you can teach it, but.
Oh my gosh, what would that be? If so many things popping through my head. You know, one area I find fascinating, conscious parenting. Like I have a teenager and, you know, so I didn't really understand a lot of things we're talking about when he was really little. I kind of wish I would have, but now that's an area I think is so important. Conscious parenting. And I probably would have maybe done some things differently. And I could speak to that a little bit, but I'm not an expert in it whatsoever. But
that's a great topic. I think any parent who has a child over the age of, I don't know, 10, probably could use more of that and probably could have done some things different.
Right.
You know, it's part of our job is we get to screw up our kids so they have something to talk about because otherwise, where would they get their healing? Come on, guys. Right.
Okay. I've used that a few times to say to my son, just to remind him that you gave me permission that that could be true.
You can, because I've said it before. I've said, dude, if I wouldn't have screwed you up, somebody would have. So you might as well stay in the family here.
Exactly.
What obsessions do you explore on the evenings or weekends when you're not in your regular workday? What's something that you kind of obsess about or geek out on?
There's two things that pop in my head. One of them's somewhat normal. That would be nature, anything in nature. Like, I just need to be in the woods, around the trees, around water. And the other thing is like true crime. I am obsessed with true crime stuff. Like, I am into all the movies and the books and all the things. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be a forensic profiler. And so I had it all figured out. By the time I was 12, I was like, I even pretended when I was 5 years old that I was finding like looking for bodies in the woods, like hiking in the woods. I was such a weirdo, but it was really the psychology part of me that was drawn to all of that, that wanted to understand human behavior, but like puzzles too. I love just figuring things out. So those are the two things that, like, yeah, I'm usually watching something like that or hiking. It's like peace or true crime.
I happen to know that about you, actually. So
it's the contrast.
Okay. What is the worst advice that you hear or see being dispersed out in the world right now? Well, there's a lot of options, so let's hear this one.
The worst advice is that there's only one way, or that somebody has it all figured out and that following their way is the way to go. I really feel like now is the time for intuition and trusting that and honoring that. I mean, it's always been that way, right? Always an opportunity to trust. But I feel like with all this conflicting information and guidance and confusion, it's really so important to know that they don't have anything you don't have. And that drives me a little crazy when I see things out there that are like, buy this thing and your life will be perfect, or do this thing. And I feel like everything is a process of transformation and integration. And, you know, people like yourself offer these incredible opportunities to be a part of things and have real life change. But there's never it's me, my way. It's very much trust yourself, like reiterating that in the way you share and you teach. And I feel like that's a big piece that, and regardless of whether it's like business or personal, I still think it's the same answer, you know, because it's still in both of those areas that I see it happening, where it's like this promise of, if you do this thing, it'll all be figured out for you. But there's so much you already have within you to be able to work with and to figure out and feel into.
And your own connection is always, yes, you can get input and you want that. That's absolutely helpful. But it doesn't mean that if you do it a different way, it's wrong.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Agreed. Well, there's a lot of people that love true crime, I'm seeing. I'm like, really? I don't even know how you guys watch that stuff. I cannot even. So Melissa and I have already had this conversation because she likes all that. Really, like, wow, I can barely work on my missing persons cases because I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
So, I love it. You got a whole bunch of people that are with you that all love true crime. So that's awesome. So that's really good for all of you guys. I'm so happy that we all have different areas. I would like to watch something that is like, I don't know. I like to learn though. I do like to learn. So if I'm going to watch something, it has to be real. I don't like story. I like true something, true whatever. Okay. So last question is, well, I got two. First one is, you have a freebie that you were going to give everybody that was a yoga. A yoga nidra meditation?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I actually, and I built on that. So I made it, there's a couple things actually that come together. It's on my website, but basically what it is a yoga nidra. And that's a meditation like we were talking about earlier, and it's to help you connect. So this is good for people that want to bring their higher self or connection into their life, into their business. It's worded like it's for entrepreneurs, but just know if you go into it with the intention to just establish your connection, that's perfect too. But there's a workbook that also goes with it, with some like journal prompts and things like that.
Cool. Awesome. So they can just go to your website.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. MelissaCorder.com. Yeah.
Okay. MelissaCorder.com. So no Kim. So you see your Kim there, no Kim in it, MelissaCorder.com. And you can grab that freebie. All right. Last thing is, what would you want the audience to know? What would you like to leave everyone with, Melissa?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's something that Sunny's been telling me ever since the day I probably met her. I know sometimes we don't always feel this, but like you're never not enough. If I just could understand that back in the day through all these different experiences I had, we are more than enough all the time. Even when life is throwing these things at you, or you're having these experiences, or you're falling short or feeling like it doesn't make sense or it's not coming together, I really, really worked so hard to feel a sense of being enough. And that was a direct link to allowing in more money and peace and joy and happiness and all these things, because then the world didn't have to keep reflecting to me that I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that. And so I really, that's my prayer for people, is that they just have a glimpse of what it's like to really believe they're enough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably my favorite message as well. I think actually, well, you were there when we were at a Celebrate Your Life conference, and actually Ian LaVanzant stole my answer, but I just said it again. I said, listen, that's what I was going to say. And you stole my answer, but that's what I was going to say was you are enough. So I think that's such a perfect message. Perfect message. Thank you, my friend, so much for joining us. Those of you that are watching, if you love Melissa, come and join us on Thrive. Me, Melissa, Emmanuel, Nia Peoples, Gina Hot Seats. It's going to be fantastic talking about creativity, abundance, and manifestation. If you're ready to start creating some things in your life that you've just been talking about, now's the time. So thank you, sister. I appreciate you and appreciate you here to share with everyone. And you guys go check out her website, melissacorder.com, to get your freebie and to connect with her for anything else. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Love you. Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.